and welcome to the Pinstripe Ballet Podcast, off-season edition. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined by Kunj. How you been?
Better. Just had some time to process and be away from the Yankees, which is always nice.
Yeah, had to, briefly get some hope from the Phillies in the World Series that maybe they could dispatch the Astros, but, well, oh well.
Alas.
That didn't happen.
It was not meant to be.
Yeah, more of a close series than I think most people expected, but yeah, that's ancient news at this point, though, so we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Screw it.
It sucked, and that's it.
Yeah. But we have some relevant Yankees news to discuss. That's the main reason why we're back this week. Anthony Rizzo is also back. He did not let his free agency last very long. I swear it was less than 2 hours between him rejecting the qualifying offer and then news coming out that he was coming back on a new 2-year contract with an option for a third.
Yeah, no. This just seemed like a match that was just meant to be. I think a lot of people just expected this to happen sooner, like eventually, but I don't think anybody expected it to happen as quickly. Especially considering that, like, before news broke that the Yankees, you know, and him agreed to a deal, the Astros were like, he's our number one priority this offseason. So I was like, oh, God, the Rizzo saga is going to last for a while, isn't it? But it did not.
Yeah, I thought maybe we would be going into, like, December. I thought he would probably be back just because he was the Yankees' best option at first base. I think DJ LeMahieu could have done that, but I think it's not really using DJ LeMahieu to the best of his abilities to make him the de facto first baseman, you know? So, and it's better to bring someone like Rizzo, who just fits in so well with this clubhouse and this lineup, brings a big lefty power bat. All the infielders are comfortable throwing to him. They were talking about this on the Twitter spaces last night that Josh, Peter, and Madison hosted. But the fact that, like, all the infielders, no matter if they're veterans or young rookies who we could see in this coming season, are all good with throwing to Rizzo, and they know that they could just chuck in his direction, he'll catch it. That's such an assuring feeling, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, with just how the Yankees infield is projected to be next year,
yeah,
who knows what it's going to end up being. But what our best guess is, like, you need somebody like Rizzo there. And, like, to your point, like, it's that you could definitely slide DJ LeMahieu there as like the main first baseman or whatever, but it's not using him to the best of his abilities, which is, hey, he can also play first base when you need him to.
Yeah, it seemed like they would either bring Rizzo back or make DJ the guy, because I don't think they were going to go out and sign one of the guys on the market, like Trey Mancini or Jose Abreu, anyone like that, or Josh Bell. I think they would probably say, well, we already have our money in DJ, so we're just going to use him instead. But better to just bring Rizzo back. And yeah, we're all in on this move. I think even an aging version of Rizzo is a pretty good option out there, because he'll take care of the defense, you know, and he will occasionally pop one into the short porch. So good.
Yeah, I think this season showed that he definitely still has something left. And now with the full shift being eliminated, it'll be interesting to see how that hopefully helps him or affects him. But I think, you know, especially considering they're not like handing out like a 5-6 year commitment to him, at most they're locked in for 2 years at Rizzo's age. That's not a bad deal for
not at all. Yeah. And that the team option for 2025, very reasonable. They want to cut bait. $6 billion.
$6 billion.
Yeah. You got a $6 billion.
more money than Aaron Judge and Mike Trout combined.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? They really like Rizzo, all right? Just the buyout is suddenly Anthony Rizzo is the owner of the Yankees.
it just ends with him just saying, nobody beats the Riz.
As we all knew that it would.
Anyway, he's a $6 million buyout.
Yeah. So if he's really declining by then, yeah, just cut bait, whatever, it's fine. So anyway, got one big part of the infield already settled, which we endorse here. So that's good. And keeping him away from all these other teams that could potentially use his services. And I think that's about it. I don't think we really need to go too much deeper into Rizzo.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll add is I think he was probably the consensus, like, not just for the Yankees, but I think even like us Yankees fans, like the consensus option for first base for them for 2023 and, you know, a little bit beyond. So them going after who I think everyone agreed on should be their number one target is a good thing. They should do that in all facets.
Well, number two target. I would still like to get Aaron Judge back before Anthony Rizzo.
Oh, I meant specifically at first base.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I don't know if that wasn't clear.
Yeah.
If we're actually ranking it, David Robertson's the number one target, yes.
Yes, according to your free agent target post, the an annual rite of passage at this point.
The recurring series.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so Rizzo back. Maybe that will help in the Judge sweepstakes. I don't know, but hey, they like each other, so sure.
Yeah, they're very clearly very, very good friends. It's mm-hmm. not going to affect his decision if the money's nowhere near the same.
Right.
So it's a nice, it can help if the money's the same. As like, you know, my friend's here too, cool. But unless that offer is not respectable, unless that offer, yeah, exactly, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. What if like the Giants just signed like Gary Sanchez to back up and they're like, hey, look, we have a friend of yours too or something.
Well, no, they're going to get Tyler Wade, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Never forget when Tyler Wade was recruiting Judge to the Angels. It's so great here. And then he gets cut or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, Tyler Wade's on the A's now. So you know what? He's come to Oakland.
Yes, Aaron Judge to Oakland confirmed.
Yeah, we've been talking about the Bay Area connections as if like the Giants were like the lock. But did you ever consider that the A's could sign Aaron Judge? Be like, come play in our ballpark, get diseased or not? Who knows? I'd get $5 redeemable store credit.
Aaron Judge signs $500 million contract with Oakland. Also gets Epstein-Barr disease.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Judge is not going to open.
No, I think we can spoil that, yeah. Sorry.
Spoiler alert!
Sorry to Billy Bean and the elephant that roams the outfield.
Especially because who knows if Oakland's even going to be in Oakland.
Yeah, they're still flirting with Vegas, we'll see.
Yeah.
But that is neither here nor there. We should talk about, related to the qualifying offer, the Yankees did not extend one to Jameson Taillon, which was expected. It had been discussed that he was a third possibility to maybe receive one, but the Yankees elected to not tag him with one, and they will probably try to bring him back on a different kind of contract, but if he ends up walking, then they seem to be okay with him walking.
Yeah, I think the two 100% obvious candidates were Judge and Rizzo, which they both obviously got one. The case with Taillon, I think, is like if you find out that the Yankees did extend him a qualifying offer, you would have been like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And when we found out he didn't, like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Like, it was one of those, like, yeah, either way works deals, I think.
Yeah.
I think they do still try and, bring him back because, like, yeah, he wasn't, like, fantastic by any means, but he was solid and dependable and, you know, had a decent season for the most part and was there, which is a big part of his allure that, you know, he's there every fifth day.
Yeah, and it's just like that sort of steady rotation option that, you know, is not going to blow anyone away, but he's going to put in a decent effort, and I think they may end up deciding, you know what, we're good with that, so they'll may see a reunion, but who knows, maybe someone goes nuts and is like, hey, you, Jameson Taillon, would you like to have $70 million for some reason?
Plus, not for nothing, I'm sure Taillon appreciates not being tagged, because in case it didn't work out with the Yankees, you know, it could see him potentially suffering with the whole draft pick compensation attached.
No, that's the thing. Like, I feel like if they did give him a qualifying offer, he probably would have accepted it. Just because you don't know for sure what you're going to get. And if he was tagged with it, then I don't see anyone giving up a draft pick to sign Jameson Taillon unless they've already, you know, signed someone, just given how draft picks are valued. You know, if you would maybe do it if you've already committed to losing your top draft pick. But,
right,
you know, if you already are below, then, you know, maybe just go down and get Jameson Taillon too. But good for him, I guess.
Yeah. Congrats.
So maybe we will see Jameson Taillon next year. Who knows? But, yeah.
Maybe Justin Verlander or Jacob deGrom will take a spot.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess that would be an acceptable substitution. Carlos Rodon, who is profiled by Andres today on our Fury Free Agent Target series. I don't think he will end up coming to the Yankees because I don't think they're putting enough focus on pitching, especially since they're in on the Judge sweepstakes. But hey, you know, they can afford both, but they probably won't.
No.
Yeah. Rude.
Just no.
Nah.
That's not even my opinion. I would love for that to happen. I just don't expect it at all.
No. Oh, well. Yeah. So, other minor news. They added some prospects to the 40-man roster to protect them ahead of the Rule 5 draft. The deadline for that was on Tuesday itself, I believe. And as of today, they've added Johnny Brito, Jimmy Cordero, who is less of a prospect and more of just like a veteran reliever who has had Tommy John surgery in 2021, I believe, and is remodeling himself. So they protected him. They protected Matt Crook and Randy Vasquez, who is their number 14 overall prospect and has been written about very favorably at Baseball Prospectus, more middle of the road and other sources. But at the very least, he seems like he could be a good relief option as a prospect. So, yeah, they're all on the 40-man roster.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know enough about any of these guys to speak, but cool.
Yeah.
Congrats to them.
Yeah. I mean, they're all like interesting possibilities just in terms of the most likely the bullpen. Crook is a starter, but probably not a guy who has the advanced enough repertoire to be a major league starter. So he's probably another guy who's maybe destined for the bullpen. And again, like, not all these guys are going to end up in a big league bullpen. We may end up in a situation where they make a trade or add someone and need to subtract from the 40 man. So they could be on the chopping block for there, particularly like a Crook or a Brito. But they do have two free spots. They decided to go into this with without protecting the maximum number of people, which left an interesting guy like Andres Chaparro exposed, who's a pretty solid infield prospect, but maybe not someone who could make a splash in the big leagues. We'll see. But they had those two openings because, in part, Steven Ridings was claimed off waivers by the Mets, and Tim LeCastro was released. So, farewell to those gentlemen. I had a lot of fun with Steven Ridings in this little cameo in 2021, but his shoulder just got wrecked to hell and he never came back.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, we enjoyed the ride, if you'll forgive the, I promise, unintentional pun while it lasted. But yeah, it just kind of sucks, but whatever. I guess that's the payment that the Yankees had to make for Steve Cohen to promise not to go after Aaron Judge. Spoiler warning!
Yes, yes, you must give us Steven Ridings, that redheaded guy. Shoulder looks like, you know, Swiss cheese.
Al Steinbrenner's just like, I don't know what you just said, but okay.
Yeah. Steven who? No, yeah, sure.
I would bet money Hal Steinbrenner would know who Steven Strange is more than Steven Ridings, and I don't think Hal Steinbrenner knows who Steven Strange is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well. Steven Ridings is one of those guys who was probably always going to be one of those 40-man casualties just because he's such an unknown with how his shoulder is, and the Yankees have better insight on his medicals than anyone else. So, yeah, if they weren't protecting him, there was probably a good reason for it. I don't think this is going to be like a reverse Garrett Whitlock situation.
It would be funny if, like, and I guess this doesn't work as well anymore because the Mets, like, did just come off like a, you know, very good season for them. But it would just be funny if Ridings was like, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm going to go back to substitute teaching.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I don't want to pitch for the Mets. And as far as LeCastro goes, who knows? I mean, he's been cut before by the Yankees and randomly has popped up back on the team. So maybe that'll happen again. Maybe he'll disappear somewhere else. But such is the life of a vagabond pinch-running outfield specialist.
Yeah. It's fun to watch him, like, steal, like, watch him run the bases, watch him steal base and all that stuff. But, yeah, this is one that's like, if he comes back, okay, cool. If he doesn't, also okay, cool.
Yeah, and he may be a guy who is helped out by the new rules that, you know, lend the base runners a bit of an assist with limiting pickoffs and stuff. So who knows, maybe he could blossom on like the Tigers or something if he feels like it.
Best of luck to him wherever he ends up.
Yes. Okay. So we will take an ad break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So another topic that's coming to come up. Aaron Judge is almost certainly going to win the MVP later today. The BBWAA has made announcements on all the other awards, and MVP is today. And I see no reason, just in terms of like the BBWAA chatter, why Judge won't win the MVP. I think it's possible that maybe Shohei Ohtani will get a stray vote or two. But yeah, I think he's going to take home that award finally.
Yeah. And like, I get the argument for Shohei Ohtani, and obviously, you know, this is not a knock on Shohei Ohtani at all, but just what Judge did, this really shouldn't even be a debate right now. Like, just like, come on, like that season, this season Aaron Judge just had is just simply incredible.
Yeah, if you're not going to award 62 homers and 11 wins, then you know, just straight in with the Shohei Ohtani award, you know.
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah, and like I salute what Shohei Ohtani is doing. He's an absolute unicorn. No one is doing what he's doing. But also, you know, no one is doing what Aaron Judge is doing this year. This is the best offensive season we've seen since Barry Bonds, basically.
Exactly.
So yeah, Aaron Judge
could have been 12 home runs better, but you know, I digress.
Yeah, I know he let you down, and you only gave him an A grade instead of A plus. But
yes, I will say I did find that kind of going back to Shohei Ohtani for a hot second, just he came fourth in Cy Young Award voting, which is cool, but then he also has hit home runs up for everybody who finished ahead of him.
Yeah, that's true. What a singular talent, who is going to be paid $30 million to just troll around on the Angels next year.
Yeah, supposedly they're not trading him.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I feel like probably the most likely outcome is he gets traded at the deadline or something. But
yeah, it probably just makes sense for whatever, if the sale happens this winter, just to kind of see what the new ownership wants to do. Yeah.
Although I did think it was funny that like we immediately got an Angels move by them giving a 3-year contract to Tyler Anderson, and it was like, yeah, I mean, maybe if this had worked out, if this had been with another team, I would have had more confidence in it. But Angels signed Tyler Anderson to 3-year contract just has bad news written all over it.
Oh yeah, I feel bad for his future.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I commend him because he's like, you know what? Not only am I not accepting your qualifying offer, Dodgers, I'm gonna go to Anaheim for 3 years. And they were like, okay,
bye, enjoy.
Oh, congratulations on your money, Tyler Anderson. You know,
I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, hey, he was on like the Pirates like a year or two ago, and it seemed like he was pretty much done. So good for him.
Yeah, congratulations.
We love a reinvention. But yeah, so Judge, your MVP. Yeah, that's good. Also, the Yankees should bring him back. I know this is a revolutionary thought that no one has discussed before in a podcast, but
yeah, I would like for the Yankees to sign Aaron Judge to a contract. That would be good.
And we will say that the comments that Hal Steinbrenner has been making publicly have at least signaled that they are very much invested in this. It does seem different than when Robinson Cano was a free agent. It was very much just like, oh, yeah, we like Robbie. We'll negotiate. And it was just like the one offer. And that was it. But
no negotiating.
Yeah. It seems like they know just how valuable Judge is, not just from a baseball perspective, but from, you know, marketing. They can tag him with captain. They can give him the Jeter treatment, basically, and they can roll with that. So,
yeah, and Hal coming out and basically, you can always tell when the Yankees are genuinely interested in a free agent, right? And this is definitely one of those cases. So I feel like if Aaron Judge ends up not somewhere else, and again, I won't put it past the Yankees to be the Yankees and ultimately not piss me off, but if Aaron Judge ends up in a different uniform next season, I feel like at this point, from what it seems like, it'll probably be just about personal preference, which I can't really fault the guy for.
Yeah.
But that being said, Hal Steinbrenner is saying the right thing. Let's see if, you know, his actions back up his talk. What's good is Hal's also mentioned that him and Judge have spoken a few times this offseason already, like since the season ended, including once in person. So again, like Hal's actually being involved here, which is good. And they've also not just talked about like, hey, yeah, we want you back, but just at least according to Hal, right? They've also talked about how like, hey, we're not going to let what we do here limit what we're doing elsewhere and things like that. and all that stuff. So it's good to see them just actually having real, genuine conversations. And apparently, Judge has told Hal that he'll get the last word. So if he gets another offer somewhere else, at least Hal will have a chance to counter. And let's see
Yeah.
where that ends up.
Judge has every right to, exercise this strength at this point and be like, look, if I'm coming back, we need to be fully all in, going after the best people on the market every year when there's a clear hole, very much like they did not do this past year. And I don't think that Judge would ever publicly trash a teammate, but I mean, I can't imagine that, like, just considering clubhouse perception, what you think when your team goes and gets like Isaiah Conner-Falefa instead of signing one of the many shortstops that's available. And it also brings in Josh Donaldson, who was quickly ice cold to the team once he's like, oh, he's racist.
It's funny. I feel like Judge would rather have IKF on the team than Donaldson, and I don't blame
Oh,
him.
for sure. For sure. I think IKF
But
is well liked on that team for sure.
yeah, he definitely has a good reputation outside of, his hitting ability.
And defense.
Yeah. He's one of the 5 to 7 best defenders.
Yeah. Oh, haven't you looked at our numbers?
No, can you share him with us? Also, no.
Yeah. So we will see. But as you said, the Mets do not seem to be interested in Judge at all, which is, their own prerogative. But the problem is that Mets sources apparently told Andy Martino about the Mets not pursuing Judge because Steve Cohen, like, respecting Hal Steinbrenner's like court basically.
Yeah,
And
like
that's the teeny bit like collusion.
the Mets see Judge as like a Yankee icon, so they're not going to interfere, whatever the hell that means. I mean, yeah, I agree, but don't say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, they are mutually respectful relationship, and they're like, yeah, we won't bid on your guys. So whether I guess that you could interpret that to mean maybe the Yankees then will not bid on DeGrom or Nimmo, which are their own cases, but those aren't part of the story. The story mainly concerned Judge, and yeah, that's bad from a MLBPA perspective because they want as many of the big market teams competing for the top of the market players as they can. And if an organization like the Mets is coming out and leaking, oh, we're not going to go after Judge because of our gentleman's agreement with Hal Steinbrenner, then yeah, that's going to raise some eyebrows.
Yeah, although I would say it would be really funny for the Mets to come up and be like, we respect Hal Steinbrenner too much, and we won't go after Aaron Judge, and then the Yankees sign Judge and then also sign DeGrom and
Like, we don't respect
Nimmo. Like, hey, we do not respect you at all. This is not a two-way street, sir.
Nope.
But yeah.
Yeah, just a weird story, but like you almost can't believe how dumb it is that this got out, but Steve Cohen has not exactly been the most ethical of guys in the past, so it's not surprising that this would pop up eventually. And we've dogged Hal Steinbrenner enough, so
Yeah, and like this kind of thing, I'm sure happens more often than not. It's just
sure.
you gotta like, how the hell did it got to Martino is probably like the thing that just blows my mind, because he's just gonna print whatever the hell he gets.
Yeah, like it's bad anyway. But just like, again, it's the same sort of thing as like we brought in David Ortiz to talk to Aaron Boone, and then we also showed highlights from the 2004 ALCS to pump up the team. You don't let that get out.
Yeah. Well, that was just their own stupidity of
Oh,
like
yeah.
they came out and like, look, we're doing this. So like, oh God. And then Aaron Boone still finished fifth in manager of the year voting
Oh,
somehow.
yeah. Yeah. BBWAA news. Our fifth best manager in the American League, Aaron Boone, who got a second and third place vote. Four
He's
reasons.
one of the 5 to 7 best managers in the American League.
It on the resume.
Oh, we should actually probably give a special shout out to Nestor for finishing eighth in Cy Young voting.
Yeah,
He
he
got,
got
I think,
three fifth place
three fifth
votes.
place votes ahead of Gerrit Cole, who finished ninth.
Yeah, he got one fifth place vote. I guess he not exactly what he wanted from this year, but whatever. He got another
Yeah.
Cy Young vote for him, so that's nice. But Nestor, that's the real thing.
Yeah. Only room to improve from here, Nestor.
Yeah. Now Nestor's going to have judge-like expectations where you're going to predict like a 0.5 ERA or something.
452 strikeouts.
Going beyond the realm of normalcy. So,
yeah.
I guess one last thing. Brian Cashman still doesn't technically have a contract, but he is almost certainly coming back because both he and Hal Steinbrenner have said like they want to be together again. It's just like working out the details. So I don't see any reason to expect that he won't come back. I think there's a reasonable conversation to be had whether he should, but I mean, they've been working together for so long. We always knew that Cashman was coming back.
Yeah. I just want to know, like, again, I know we know it's coming back. I just want to know, like, is he still the one negotiating with like Rizzo? Is that allowed technically if he's not technically employed by the team? I just want to know how that works.
I assume so. I guess in some way, if he's just like, oh, this is our appointed representative who is volunteering.
Our volunteer GM.
Our unpaid intern, Brian Cashman.
Our unpaid intern, exactly.
He's back at the bottom.
Back where he started. But it would be, I guess, funny if all this happens and then at the end, Hal Steinbrenner still decides to bring somebody else as GM. But yeah,
he's like, all right, happening. Good work, Cash. Bye.
Yeah. I appreciate you volunteering for us.
Yes. Okay. Unless you have anything else, I think we can wrap this up.
Yeah, I think that covers it.
Yeah, off-season podcasts don't exactly lend itself to flurry of discussion, but like we can get more creative in different formats, but it was worth catching up on all the random news that has happened since the season ended, especially the Rizzo signing that deserved its own, you know, time. So, hooray. Glad to have Rizzo back. Get Judge next.
Please and thank you.
Yes. So, follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. Follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. What do you want for Christmas this year, Kunj?
Aaron Judge and Trey Turner to be teammates on the Yankees.
Wow. I suppose I should have predicted that Judge would be involved. But yeah, get Trey Turner too. I don't care about how much money.
I set my expectations realistic, at least, right? I could have mentioned David Robertson too.
Yeah, well, honestly, I'm surprised you didn't. So he can be the stocking stuffer. How about that?
Yes, there we go.
David Robertson, stuff our stockings.
My stockings for hope.
Yeah. All right. No Yankee Manfred of the Week. I guess Manfred of the Week. Yankee of the Week can be Hal Steinbrenner for saying he wants to bring Aaron Judge back. And Manfred of the Week is also Hal Steinbrenner for maybe oopsie colluding with Steve Cohen.
Oopsie.
Yeah. Okay. Go Yankees. Go Aaron Judge with an MVP. Bye-bye.
See ya.